In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is
in the Russian Primary Chronicle, there is a story in which great Prince Vladimir, who we celebrate today as his feast day, sends out emissaries into various countries, particularly Bulgaria and Germany, and then Constantinople. And when the emissaries come back and report, when they went to Bulgaria, they speak of the Bulgars, in the particular area of Bulgaria they were, as being Muslim. And it's not a very flattering picture that they paint. It says that their worship is somewhat dead, and that the people would look back and forth erratically, and they looked as though they were possessed. Recently in a college class, and Deanna DeGratney had me do a college class, and I had this quote on the wall, and it was aware of how not politically correct it was, you know, this description. Of course, that was their experience, though. And so they moved on, and they went to the Germans, which we understand were Roman Catholic. And it mentioned that the Roman Catholics had a ritual, and they did their ceremonies. And the only real comment about it was that there was no glory, that they beheld no glory. When he sent his emissaries to Constantinople, it says that they knew not whether they were on heaven or on earth. They had never beheld such beauty before. And to put this in context, you know, Constantinople is a huge church, the biggest church in the world for a long time. And in this huge church, we're talking hundreds of priests, not just one or two. We could fit, I believe, the estimate around 10,000 people in this church at one time. Massive chandeliers, beautiful and well-orchestrated services. And, of course, the celebration and of the faith and the teaching, because the emissaries also encountered the teachings of these faiths and mention those. So they come back to the great Prince Vladimir with this report, and that is the beginning, much of the beginning of the conversion of Russia under St. Vladimir the Great. Now, it's interesting that their encounter is an encounter with beauty. And there are different styles of beauty. Now, there's external beauty. And I mentioned that, and I cannot paint a picture for you of Hagia Sophia, if you've seen the pictures, and I can't even imagine what it's like to go to church there at the height of its prime. I only know a little bit of beauty from various churches in America, but in Mount Athos or Thessaloniki, where there was moments where I looked up and I said, Oh, now I get it. Oh, now I get it. Like, this is supposed to be like this. Like, we're standing in the middle of the universe and the saints are surrounding us and our feet are in the very place of heaven and God is present. And understand it. And there are many external things you can do to get that beauty. We have iconography, banners, you know, rugs and iconostases, nice wood and carvings and gilded and all sorts of brass and various things. And you can have all that external beauty, but it doesn't necessarily translate to having internal beauty. What the Russian emissaries encountered was not simply an external experience, but it was also the internal sense that they had stepped into the kingdom of heaven. Now, I'm going to veer off and go to today's gospel for a second. In today's gospel, Jesus heals two blind men. And that's a miracle. But the fathers, the commentators on scriptures, and in our spiritual tradition, the healing of these two blind men, although it is a sign that points to Jesus as the Messiah, is not as important as what happens to their souls. Their external healing, so that they can see beauty, is not as important as Jesus healing them on the inside, that they began to see the beauty of the kingdom of heaven and to begin to be able to see who Christ was. So every healing in the New Testament is understood and interpreted this way. And number one, as an external sign that points to Christ as the Messiah. But that when Christ touches you, when he heals you, he changes you. And Jesus criticizes the Jews for particularly the Pharisees for a manifestation of their faith. He calls them whitewashed walls full of dead man's bones. He condemns the phylactery and the broad garments that they wore because inside they are ravenous wolves, according to what he wrote, what is said in Matthew. And so all this beauty can be, if imbued with the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, the hearts of the faithful praising and being connected to God, can be for the person who visits our church, just as St. Vladimir's emissaries visited the church in Constantinople, can for them, under the grace and guidance of the Holy Spirit, can be an encounter with profound beauty that starts with their eyes and buries itself deep within their soul. But it also can be perceived other ways. Because sometimes we're more beautiful on the outside than we are on the inside. And the challenge of being beautiful on the outside, but being empty on the inside, is that it's a lie. That it stands in accusation against us if we are simply wearing beautiful vestments and have beautiful churches, but our hearts are hard towards one another, and we don't fulfill the gospel commandments, and we don't love our enemies. All this beauty has a flip side. It's a double-edged sword, because on the one hand, it proclaims the glory of Christ. On the other hand, it can be claimed as an empty, ritualistic, deadly religious system that crushes the soul. The same accusation was given to the Pharisees that they would travel everywhere to find a proselyte. But then when they found a proselyte, they would a convert, they would make them twice as much as a hellion as they were themselves. So we have to be mindful as our faith has journeyed from Constantinople, from the apostles, throughout the Roman Empire, through Russia, through Alaska, through St. Innocent, to this place in Macon, Georgia, that we have a profound legacy and that we can see this legacy visually. We can see the beauty of the various saints of the nations on our walls. We can see the beauty of the service and the worship, like I mentioned last week. But it's most important that people see inner beauty in us. That when we leave this church, we're somehow transformed by it. That somehow we encounter Christ. That we repent of our sins. That we become less self-serving, less selfish, more loving, more outward focused. That they encounter humility, love, the virtues and fruits of the Holy Spirit in us. Because if they don't encounter that in us, all of this beauty, although it may be passed down to another generation, can stand in accusation against us. It can be simply pomp, ritual, and circumstance. This is also what is unique about St. Vladimir's life. You know, when you get into these saints who there's a lot of politics around, it's a little dangerous to talk about them as though they're pure vessels. But it is unanimously recorded that St. Vladimir didn't just simply convert to the Orthodox faith. It changed how he governed his empire. It changed who he was. It changed the face of the Russian Empire. It changed the face of the world. That is what we come here for. We come here to commune with beauty, to put our feet in the kingdom of heaven while we're on earth, and to be transformed and to be made more Christ-like. May God bless us to pursue this in our lives, to be like St. Vladimir, to encounter that beauty and to be changed. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.